Okay, we're back. 10 minutes with AY, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, a very meaningful guest.
Oh God.
David Bashevkin. Just kidding.
Meaningful, no?
What?
Nothing. So the no, I love David Bashevkin. He's great. He's great.
It's Jack Langer, by the way, for those who it's
not
David
Bashevkin.
I just want that.
I love that your podcast is called 10 Minutes with AY, and you totally just go way over 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the idea, was that it was supposed to be 10 minutes and people wouldn't be so invested. Like, I'm not asking you to listen for 45 minutes to me talk about shul, you know, like, no knock on any other podcast that have anything to do with shul or anything.
I can't imagine there's a podcast.
But like, it's like, here, check out my new podcast. And like, you open it up and it's like 68 minutes. And it's like, I'm not gonna really listen to that.
I think you don't have enough like self-esteem in this area. I would personally listen to you for as long as it's good, and I think you would be good for 48 minutes. But you have it longer than 48 minutes.
Right. I've done it longer, but I guess I don't have that confidence. And I now it's like I'll go past 10 minutes, obviously. But
right.
You know, it's called 10 Minutes with AY. That's what it's called. You can't change it now.
I'm going to give myself a shout out. I actually told this to someone right before that your album art before was like, literally like you went on paint and it was like some like maroon and it literally said 10 Minutes with AY.
It wasn't paint. I did it through WhatsApp. I did a WhatsApp status. And
that's what you did. That's so yeshivish. You did a WhatsApp.
I'm yeshivish.
And screenshot it. Oh gosh. But your album art currently, taking off your shirt, those who are listening, AY just like your shirt a lot.
Right, I'm just getting tight up there.
But I credit myself for making your album art.
You did. And I think it's really nice. I think it definitely enhanced the brand of like the me rolling my eyes Bitmoji brand. And you know, it works with the podcast because the podcast isn't supposed to be like, it's not supposed to be stand-up comedy for 10 minutes or more. It's supposed to be just like whatever, ranting about
rants. Yeah, it's rants.
Right. It's not, I don't expect it to be laughing out loud. I just expect it to be like,
But people, you know what? Right. I think with no Lashon Hara, because obviously Lashon Hara is bad, but like rants in the Jewish drum community are so important.
Everyone loves rants.
There's so much to rant about.
Right.
I know we have like a list of like things that we're trying to get to, but, and I'm not going to throw shame on a specific one, but like there's so much to rant about on camps, just the camp system.
Oh, the camp world is, I mean, look, you're talking to someone who like hated camp as a kid, but like I was forced to go every year. So
same.
My gosh, everything about camp from wake up till curfew, like the worst thing in the world.
It's
curfew is in 10 minutes. If you're not on the porch of your bunkhouse,
it's universal, by the way, because there's two type of camps. Okay. And I went to the first type, and I think you did also. First type is like super strict about everything, more strict than yeshivas. Then there's the second camp where like that kid smoking is like, yeah. And like, he's 6 years old. It's like, gonna smoke anyways. Like there's those two type of camps. I don't know why I went to those children. Maybe I didn't want to go to those.
I was never in the latter of the camps.
Right, me neither. I was in the camp that like I had pressure to like finish a masechta while being awesome at basketball, being forced to go swimming.
The sports pressure is insane also to be good at sports.
Yes.
As someone who struggled for his early sports career,
like the guy who's good at sports. That's not
only thing. Later on did I develop skills. No, but like I, first of all, I was like 4'8", when I was like 13 years old, so like that was a problem. I mean, the sports, like I was never what was good was I was never like the worst. There was always like one or two kids worse than me. So like I was second base, not right field or foul territory.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I was long stop. And I was short. So they would bat me early on in the order. And I would just like basically get walked for the most part. And like, I got on base. I would manage to get on base. But as far, like, I wasn't the worst, but still, like, the pressure to for camp, I still wasn't great. And I had my share.
Okay, just two more grand things about camp. Okay, first of all, the whole color war, I think we had a color war, that, right? Color war, like, it's like the dumbest thing. And like, they make you so involved and you have to go to team time and eyes on Zevi. And like, I don't want to sing about like my love for the...
Right, especially boys camps. You're making a bunch of like boys sing. Like, we're not with that. There may be a select few of us are into that, but like, I don't want to sing. I don't like singing by some Zmirish. I'll show this anything. You, what do you want? I'm going to sing, hey, Ray and do you know, like, what do you want from me? And then like the staff members are all intense by team time. Like, why are you not, why are you not singing? You're not going to know the song. Like,
right.
What do you want from me?
And the crazy part is these songs are ingrained in our heads. Like, I remember like, I still remember these songs. I'm like, I didn't like, that's taking up space in my brain. I don't
smile, know. We're winning. Smile. I never won.
My friend, I won't say his full name, but I think people who know me will know who I'm referring to. My friend Yona has a great rant about camps, but his best part is he was basically saying how like camps could be, like, it's not all camps. There's some great camps out there, but like there, and there's a lot of good aspects about the camp I went to, blah, 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 blah. But the fact that like, they control everything. The point that like, you think it's 8 o'clock at night? No, it's 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
Still don't understand why they're like switching the time, but like in camps, in Jewish camps, they're like, the time, we control that. It's crazy.
Right, it's like a dictatorship when they get up and say like, we're taking away this food product, not because anything, because to show we're in control. It's like the first thing in camp is like, pull out your watches. We're gonna change the time because you're now an hour. This is our territory. We control you now. So turn your clock back an hour. We are in camp control now.
It's really like that. But
what about the worship? I don't know. I just thought of this. The worship of the camp owner. The worship of the camp owner. Like, there's the head counselor, but it's like, Rabbi Blank. And everyone's like,
Right.
Like,
Right, Blink's like, I'm making a lot of cash from this. This is great.
Yeah, there's a song about him and like, oh, Hakar, that's that type. Like, he owns the camp. he's the cult leader.
Yeah. Well then, but I do want to say, as much as we're ranting, there's obviously a lot of good aspects about camp. All these memories we wouldn't have if we wouldn't have. So trust all the types of all those camps.
Yeah. Memories.
We get canceled. Like, oh my god, you hear them rip on the camp? Like, the 2 minutes, it was fine, but they went like the whole episode was just about
the whole episode. We have to come up with a few signs now for camp. But when I was a counselor, like I you know, it wasn't as bad because like, I don't know, I was making plays and stuff, but I still never got involved in the songs and I wasn't as into it, like color war songs and that stuff. So like, songs were not my thing, but like, you know, skits, plays.
So your type.
Right. And Shabbos Miris, I checked out.
Oh gosh. We weren't allowed to leave. We weren't allowed to leave the lunchroom in my camp. I know we didn't go to the same camp, but in my lunchroom, you weren't allowed to leave unless a counselor was with you. Like, and I'm not saying like only when you're like 7 years old, like you were like 14 years old, and they're like, nope, you have to be guided with a counselor.
It's torture.
Eat apples right now. I don't know why you have to stay here. But I want to. I know I'm like taking over your podcast.
Fat carrot, sit, please.
But I want you
comfortable.
I want you to share with everyone, the story of my friend going over to you, because it's
awesome. Classic story. This goes back a few months. So I was by a wedding. This was shortly after the episode where I was on the Meaningful People podcast with D-Bash. It was the Purim episode. It was supposed to be funny. It was funny.
Yeah, it was funny. Well, yeah.
It was funny. and basically, so I was by this wedding and I was talking to a couple of guys and the name Jack Langer came up in the conversation. Because both of the guys happen to have been friends with you, and you know, friends, you know, so we were all shared. So like your name came up. And like out of the corner of my eye, there's this guy, like, you know, when someone's like kind of listening to your conversation because he has no one else to talk to, and he's just standing like right there.
Like, so, buddy, there's no more statuses to look on your phone. We know you're not doing anything now.
Right. You
know?
He was just standing, like looking off a little bit to the right, but like with half, yeah. So he like, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, this guy's about to like come into this conversation. And he go, and he, and sure enough, he looks at it, he goes, are you guys talking about Jack Langer? And we're like, yeah. I mean, I guess he thought maybe we're talking about you because like, Stan, you're a famous guy.
Hold on, I just want to stop you. Was it really you guys were saying Jack Langer or Yakov Langer?
I don't remember which name was said, but obviously one of them is a very good friend of yours.
Like, you guys like, oh, you know that loser? And he's like, wait, are you the guys talking about Yakov Langer? And you're like, yes.
So he's like, you're talking about the podcast, right? And we're like, oh, we weren't really talking about it, but yeah, sure. Like, yeah, the podcast. He's like, yeah, I don't think it was so funny. I'm like, one second, you know, the one with the perm episode with the guy. He's like, yeah, the guy from Teaneck and the other guy. I'm like, yeah, so what'd you think of it? And he's like, yeah, I didn't think it was so funny. I'm like, what about the blonde hair guy? Not the Teaneck guy, the guy, the blonde hair guy. He's like, yeah, I didn't think he was so funny. I'm like, the blonde hair guy, you saw it on YouTube? He's like, yeah. I'm like, so, you know, the other guy, you didn't think he was so funny? He's like, no. And like other two guys like started like laughing because like one of them didn't chop really what was happening. The other guy already chopped and he was laughing. And I'm like to this guy, I'm like, I'm the blonde hair guy.
Like, and the guy's like I'm Iron Man.
Right. I'm the blonde hair guy. He was so embarrassed. A poor guy. He was like, I'm sorry. I don't really know you. I only listen to meaningful people. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on anything else. I really don't know you. I don't know. I'm like, oh, it's okay. Like, stop apologizing. Just check out my Twitter. But it was he kept apologizing the rest of the wedding. He came over to me like 3-4. And then like an hour later, I was like, my father was at the same wedding. I was talking to my father outside and he comes over and he goes, oh, you're his brother? He goes, my father. Yes. And I was like, dude, just stop. And my father's like, yeah, I'm his brother. Yeah. So
digging the hole. Yeah, it's very, I know who the guy is. Very classic, the guy. But yeah, no,
that was funny. Good story.
Good story. Love that story.
Yeah.
So, our signs, Yid with sign.
You would, oh, that's the thing that, oh, right.
That's how we know each other.
I thought you do Yid with sign.
Yeah, I know. You should know every single time someone says, like, oh, you're Yid with sign. I'm like, well, I'm half of it. I might be the face of it, but like, no, we both write these signs. We go through it, we come up with ideas.
Right, we actually discussed that. It's not it's really it's I would say as far as coming up, well, you do all the sign work, right. But as far as coming up with the material, I would really say 50-50. We definitely we discuss, we go through, we go back and forth. I mean, you probably got the edge of like doing more of it with signs, so like it's like a 60-40, 70-30. But yeah, because like you're doing the markers and the cardboard. But yes, if you want to go material wise, it's I would say 50-50.
Right. No, that's for sure. And that's the icker there. Should we say like the origin of like how it started, or like I feel like we've said it's, I don't know, you tell me.
Did we say it on like other people? Did we say it on the Nachum Segal show?
Oh, we should talk about the Nachum Segal show. Did we say it there? We didn't say it there. No,
we didn't. I don't think we mentioned it.
You didn't ask us. He also like, I think he only thinks we're on Twitter, which we're like,
right. That was interesting. Yeah, he
didn't even come up once.
And he didn't mention Instagram. He's a little bit of the boomer situation.
So you're saying like he may not even know what Instagram is.
He knows what Instagram is, but like, he's not fully, in Golf.
He's an audio, like, you know, Instagram's right. Like, you know, it's a visual audio. He's king of audio.
Right. I mean, right. He's the king of Jewish radio.
He is,
as it were.
I want to go. So the night before we went on, we had a little contest. I'm sorry if I'm going to say this, it's going to embarrass you.
I'm embarrassed though. It's fine.
Okay, so we had a contest because we were zoicha to be on the Nachum Segal Network, which I used to do carpool with Zevi Gross. Random, haven't seen the guy in.
But you used to the mother in carpool used to also by you also play JM in the AM.
Yes,
me too.
His father played it.
That's so funny.
And I said to myself, I always said to myself, one day I'm gonna do carpool, and I don't know. I'm trying to like be like make up something. Nah, that never happened. But we heard it. And okay, so we to make our conversations a little more exciting, we each had three words that I made up three words for AY, and AY made up three words for me to say over. One of us didn't say it over.
One of us didn't say any of the words.
Yeah, and one of us said all three of the words. So AY's words were macaroni, Shiva, and pinata. Like, we weren't going to go crazy. We're going to do like curse words and like something like crazy, but like we wanted it to be like interesting. And my words were ketchup, yamach shemo, and zaydi. Yamach shemo is pretty funny. I have to give you props. So I don't know why, AY, you didn't do any of them.
When I'm in that zone with the like talking on the phone, on the radio, I thought of them like in my head, and I'm like, I can't stick it in. I couldn't just throw in the words. I couldn't.
I'm the opposite. The whole interview is talking, and I'm like, I don't care about anything we're saying. I'm just trying to figure out how to get my words in. Like, once I got my words in, I'm like, okay, this interview is done.
It was throwing me off. Every time my brain went to start trying to think of the words, I lost track of the conversation.
If we weren't so lazy, I would literally play the parts where I say it, but someone could see it on their website. But I'm just gonna say over what happened. So anyone who's listening probably thinks I'm crazy. So I kind of want to redeem myself a little. So he's like introducing us, and he said something. I don't remember what he said. I'm like, one of the words I had to say was ketchup. So he said something like, he said Jack Langer, you do Yid with sign. So I wanted to correct him. I'm like, Yid with sign is AY myself. It's both of us. So I said, let me, you know, catch you up. Or as I had two, I threw in two words here. I said, or as my Zaydi would tell me, let me catch up you. And it was an awkward laugh. And
you could have said as my Zaydi and Mach Shemo would say.
Oh, God. Yeah, that would be good.
So that I got that. No, that would not be right.
Yeah, that would be good. And then Yamach Shemo. Oh, I said with we were talking about one of the signs about loud music by weddings, and I said I wouldn't want loud music by even my worst enemy, Yamach Shemo. You didn't get the words in, but anyone who didn't hear the interview, go back and listen to
And Yaakov Linger won this round. But next time we're on together something.
Okay, deal.
I'm doing it, and I will beat you. We'll do 10 words, and I'll just drop them all. Next time. Okay,
that's fair.
When we're on the Kiddush Club podcast.
Oh gosh, I didn't listen to their podcast yet, but two people today sent it to me.
Oh yeah, it goes in phases, these podcasts, like, you know.
Were you on their podcast or no?
No, I wasn't on theirs. I wasn't Zaycha.
Not yet.
I don't know. I've been on my share of podcasts. I've been on my share.
I mean, obviously we're friends and I want to do this thing to be fun. But part of it is like, I have this with David Beshefkin. He was like, I've been on like 7 podcasts. I'm like, I don't like that. I'm going to make sure to be on more podcasts than you. But the guy doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. I can't dedicate my whole
everything. It's hard to keep up with that. It's you know, we'll speak off air a little more in depth, but okay. It's hard to keep up, especially like, I don't, we'll speak. No, for me at least, like I'm literally my day job. I'm busy like crazy all day. No, I'm busy 9 to 5. Like I am out. If you like, I'm not involved in this world. I am working, you know. So that's already part of my day. And then like, nighttime, especially this season, like sports and stuff. Like I'm a sports fan, and like I'm watching a game. I'm whatever. Like I'm not locked into this universe of like content. So content creation, if you will. But yeah, I feel like I was more active with all this stuff in like the winter when like there was more of a lack of sports. I don't know what I'm saying here. Okay, we're just going off.
No. I it's interesting because I similarly at 9 to 5 or even more, like what I'm currently doing now is like a lot of, I guess, content creation in my job, nothing to do with any of like the side projects. And for me, like nights and Sundays are like really the go-to for like making content, whether it's Yid with Sign or podcast or whatever it is. But I have to give a shout out to my wife who's in the background making some noise with some tape or something. She's a big supporter of Jeff Bezos. But I have to thank my wife after that.
I think all from wives are
they're very supportive. Listen, like Jeff Bezos supporters. You know, listen, we gotta get him to number one. But no, I wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't for my wife. So I wanna
First of all, I'd like to. I wouldn't be here. Could everyone back? Please be quiet. How annoying are Shavuot brachos?
Oh gosh.
Shavuot brachos. Is there anything worse besides bar mitzvah? I guess
bar mitzvah. I don't know if what I'm gonna say is like fira, but like you know, like that concept when there's so much, you know, tahara, there has to be some tumma. I'm not saying Shavuot brachos are tumma, but like you have that wedding, it's exciting, like there's real like a mitzvah going on, and like Shavuot brachos, the mitzvah of it is nice, but like it gets thrown into like so much like, okay, we're gonna have a magician in Jerusalem steakhouse,
right? The need for entertainment, like, and it's just always like. And then like there's the funny friend who has to be funny now, and there's just,
right.
The Chassan and Kala have no interest in being there. Very few people really want to be there. I mean, it's a Tuesday night, and the friend's one, and like chipping in, like
maybe it's like a whole like conspiracy, like made up by like the restaurants and the caterer businesses. They're like, yeah, of course, you shove it in the midst of the
party room,
big, yeah. Maybe. But hold on, wait, I want to plug you. You are a writer for to make people's lives easier when they have to speak by Shavuot brachos, that they're like, I met this brother-in-law of mine a year ago and now I am saying I have to be funny, but I have to write material. You do that for people.
I have done it a couple of times. I've had people reach out. I've had someone reject completely whatever I wrote.
Yeah.
If you need help or something, or if you want me to speak there for money, then we could try. I wrote, someone just reached out to me to write like a Shavuot brachos speech. But it's hard. It's hard to really put yourself in someone else's world because like you have to find out about the Chassan and Kala, and you have to try to make it funny for someone else to say. And also it's my own humor, right? So like, I can get up and say my stuff and be funny because it's my own stuff, and I'm going to say it with the right emphasis and my own sense of humor and my own, like, you know, the way I talk, and I'm going to write it down in my head the way I'm going to say it, and someone else could get up and read whatever I wrote and it's no shyness, like it's just not funny. So, you know, it's very hard to write my own content for someone else, I feel.
I think that's the writing struggle. And yeah. I still think we always, me and you always text about this, but I still think like the Jewish publications are so silly that they aren't going after you or going after you enough, I should say. Like there's
I mean, look, I'm here if you want.
So silly. No, I think they missed the boat on like this type of stuff.
In general, from publications are a whole nother conversation, but yeah, I think they missed their identity of like what they're trying to, like what their point is. I think that's where they're, you know, so I think they don't really think they need someone, you know, they're enough writing about business and successful people, that they don't need to write about. It's just the random guy who's making jokes, or the random guy who's making jokes doesn't need to write for them, because like he's like top five highlights of the CEO of some stupid company. Like it goes back to like who we find the important in the firm world is it goes back to just that we're gonna highlight money people, pretty much, more or less. And you know,
no, well, I mean, I want to be the other side of it. There's definitely a lot of good content out there, but it's crazy. It blows my mind that still, like, you see such talent on Twitter, Instagram, heck, even TikTok, whoever it is, YouTube, and like these people are good, and it's like they have a lot of great writers and great producers and all that in the Jewish world also, but like, I don't know, the Jewish world, it's like...
Yeah, people always say, like, why don't you do this? What, like, with my platform and what I do and my Twitter, what, like, why don't you this? Why don't you that? And I always say this because there's no place for it in the firm world. Like, there really isn't. Like, aside from my regular day job, I'm not gonna start focusing on this to make no money for a bunch of people who aren't, like, there's nothing here. There's really not, like, I've been telling people, like, oh, so what's your next step? I don't know. If I think of something, I'll continue tweeting it, but, like, my next step, I don't know. I'm not going to become a gevir from posting jokes or from doing TikToks.
You know that building? Yeah. So this guy started on Twitter, and he really blew up. You know.
Yeah. At this point, I'll continue making my jokes. If I think of something, I'll handle the stupid replies.
It's hard. It's hard to turn a hobby into like a real job. It just in general, it's hard to do that. Kal vachomer when you're like really trying to make sure your kids could go to yeshiva from
right. At the end of the day, this is just a hobby, and like there were a couple dollars that came in because of it, some advertising and some stuff, and like that's how Strimmer, I'm looking at it. Strimmer and, something.
Wait, are they sponsoring this one or no?
Strimmer and Slavic. Let me ask you a question. You have teeth, right? You have teeth. Yaakov, you have teeth.
I have teeth. Yeah.
What do you do when you bite into Epis a bagel or a shawarma sandwich, or Epis a wrap, and your tooth hurts? Where do you go? You go to a dentist, right? Let me tell you about a dentist that I've gone to, Dr. Schwimmer in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. You know how you post on the chat. Anyone know of a good dentist? You don't need to post it on the chat. I'm telling you of a good dentist. You don't have to post on the chat anymore. If you live in the Point Pleasant area, Lakewood, if you live in Lakewood, Dr. Schwimmer, 732-899-3363. Call him up. Dr. Schwimmer. I'm telling you, he's a great guy. That's sponsored by. Back to what I was saying is that if something does come up, then like, you know, I'll take it and whatever, but like, I'm not going to actively be pursuing it. And I can't focus so much energy and time on it. You know, I have a life, I have a job, I have kids, I have things, and yeah, right now it's just a hobby.
Okay. I want to go through a few of our signs. Do you have a sign that is your favorite?
I have a sign that is my favorite. Obviously, I think one of our first hits, which is something that I think was mine. Not gonna say mine, but like, yeah, you know, that anyone going from I forgot which towns, you Muncie to Lakewood, Lakewood to Muncie, New York, Brooklyn. Oh,
you're saying that one was yours?
Was it mine?
I don't remember.
Right, nobody.
It was mine, but
right. Nobody wants to take you from, I don't remember, right, maybe I don't remember who's or who's, but that one was a good one.
It's no, we don't want to take a small package from Lakewood to Muncie. So good. You know, the problem is, I literally, like, we posted that, and then, like, 2 weeks later, my father's like, I need to get this package from Borough Park to Muncie. And I'm like, he's like, I know a lot of people see your status. Could you please post that? I'm like, in my head, I'm like, keeping up an aim, like, what am I gonna do? And I post it, and of course, like, I get bomb texts with people just sending me this Yidwit sign. I'm like, I asked it. I did this to myself.
Yeah, you did. But yeah, I mean, like the status is in general. I love to make, I do it on Twitter also, and we've done it on US Time, to make fun of things that people post on statuses between the charities and everything. Like I haven't right now these days, I don't even look at my statuses anymore. Like I can't, it's just so much garbage. Besides for you and your brother who have posted good stuff. Like those are only, I only check a couple, but like there's so, most of it is DACA campaigns or something stupid.
My rule is if a guy does 2 TikTok campaigns and no other content, he just gets muted.
He's muted. I have a few of those.
I mute. So I would say, I'm not exaggerating, 90% of my contacts are muted.
So I tweeted about TikTokers, like I ranted about it a little bit. And someone I know, a friend of mine, texted me like, oh, it's a little harsh. Actually, this guy had posted a status collecting for a tzedakah, and I think he was a little, you know, like, oh, you looked at my status, and that's why you posted this. And he said, really, it's that much? And I said, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, count them. I literally went back to my phone, and I counted the amount of tzedakah statuses there were, and there were 10 different campaigns going on. 10 different. I counted them, and I'm like, I'm not making this up. There were 10 different tzedakah charities. This one's dear to me. That one's dear to me. And I'm like, look, I'm not going to just go here and knock tzedakahs and then whatever. That's not, you know, I'm going to get a tax for that. But like, it's ridiculous. Nobody has this kind of money to just be, oh, here. I'm not, what do you, like, it's, you know, it's, maybe I'm a bad guy and I should, and everyone should give to everything that's posted. But like your son's yeshiva, like I got my own kids in yeshiva. So what would you do?
Do you think on the flip side though, you know, like, remember, I don't know if it's a nice terminology, but there used to be like schnarrers by the door. They're not around as much anymore. Do you think they just got like WhatsApp and now they're like befriending people and just like doing statuses? Like that's where
I hate to bring up COVID in this conversation, but a lot of them came in from Israel and they couldn't go, they couldn't come in. But now in my office, they come in. I work in Muncie, so like I'm in a building where there's a lot of from companies and a lot of like from, you know, boss, you know guys with maybe a little money, and these guys come to the offices, and like lately there's been an influx of them. They just come rolling in, and they're collecting the, yeah, so they're back. Don't worry, they're back.
I don't know the solution, because like obviously tzedakah is one of those things that like, you know, Hashem gives you 90% of his money and he asks for 10% of it back. Like that's whatever. I think that's the right way to look at it. But at the same time, like this way of like pressuring, not even in a mean way, but like getting pressured from, you know, someone's yeshiva or someone's shul or someone's like, they know that person that had that tragedy. And like now all of a sudden they have to crowdfund and fundraise. And if they don't, it's like, what are you doing? Don't you care about them?
So and that's like, right. So that there is a pressure with that. And I don't even mind those campaigns where it's somebody who, you know, if it's like Nebuchadnezzar family that really needs the money, like that has more of a spot, a place in my heart.
It happens so much.
But it's a lot and there's a pressure to do it. And I just find also they do this urgent campaign thing where it's like, you have 24 hours. What do you mean I have 24 hours? You have 24. You're telling me, little say, I'm looking at my phone status. Oh, I have 24 hours. I'm going to scroll through your status and go to the next one. I have 24. You deadlining my tzedakah? Like, what is this world we're living in? Like cause match. Someone's going to match. Like, so now I like, oh, now you have to give. And then the other guy's not going to give if you don't give. So what do you want from me? Tell that guy to give. Don't tell me to give because that guy's not going to give.
I feel like these vents are real vents, but at the same time, whenever like I complain,
we always feel so guilty, right?
I feel so guilty venting about this. I'm like,
I feel disgusting.
Like on our ages during World War II in the Holocaust, they're like, I didn't have anything to eat, and we're like, you know, my statuses I have to scroll through. It's so annoying, and I make enough money to give all of them. It's so annoying.
I don't though, so I don't know about you and but
no, we yeah, do. It's fine. We rake it
oh,
in.
You do. You make the money.
No, we both split it. All the money we make from Yidva Sign.
Right, from Yidva Sign, we're making, we're the ads that we make money, so much money from what's it, yeah. What's that website?
YouTube.
Not YouTube, the one where the cameo, the Jewish cameo one.
Say Mazel Tov.
Say Mazel Tov, right. We got like three Say Mazel Tov.
Yeah, and we got one last week, by the way, I didn't tell you.
You didn't tell me? You didn't send me the money?
No, not yet. No, I'm going to send it to you, but I'm going to send it right before there's a urgent tzedakah raise it.
Yeah. How about all the money we get from St. Mazel Tov, we'll split it between us and they'll all go to urgent raise it campaigns on our statuses.
Huh? Maybe. I don't know. I don't like these commitments. I don't know. Hold on. I want to ask you a question. Do you know what was the most liked sign that we've ever done?
I would say probably one of our social justice-y ones. Wasn't humor?
No. This was definitely humor, but it's also social justice-y. The one, at least I'm looking at Instagram, we're right near 2,000 likes. 85 away from it. The one we had the most likes on was "No one likes the Natura Carta."
Oh, right. So that was humor. And by the way, on Twitter also, people love Natura Carta tweets. People love bashing Natura Carta.
Instant hit. It's like 18 people do Natura Carta.
But it's an instant hit. If you knock them, boom. Right. 150 likes off the bat because everybody hates the turn. Nobody right. likes them. Right. Nobody. There is nobody that likes them. Didn't we have like one DM that's like, I think you should take this down because you're promoting Sinna. You know what?
It's these people are kooks. But it's just funny. Like that's the number one liked one of us saying that no one likes them.
It's right. There are a few things that are instant money on Twitter and social media in general. And one of them is Natura Carta.
Oh, you have like a Rolodex in your head. You're like, oh, this is a hot topic.
Well, I just tweeted about kosher lamps. Kosher lamps is a hot topic. Shane Coates. I mean, people love this stuff. People also love Jewish things in general. So like
what? Like what else? What do you mean Jewish things?
No, I mean like people love Tanakh jokes.
Right.
It's like that. Well, it's not just people. That's because it's like more you tap into like the broad Jewish people because like, biblical joke.
Yeah, yeah. The broad Jewish biblical, like those signs we've gotten so much like, you mentioned Shabbos in there. Like I know Shabbos.
Challah Shabbos.
Shabbos, okay. I like lox, okay.
So I like challah too.
Yeah.
Remake challah. So challah, I was just thinking also WhatsApp. People love WhatsApp jokes. People love, there are some topics that the from people will always like.
I want to ask you, I say this all the time, but you're definitely the best from writer in the world. And how do you like, no, like literally.
Not writer, I'm better writers than me. I'm not a writer, I like humor, you're saying?
What are you?
I know it's more humor. Like as a writer, I don't write very eloquently. I write funny stuff.
Okay, fine. You're not like okay. I don't mean write.
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you why I believe that. Like you know, there are a lot of people on Twitter like trying to make jokes, and there are some good ones, some bad ones.
Some people that try way too hard.
There's some really ungood ones. But first of all, I think I got in at a good time. Like it was a couple of years ago. And I think there weren't a lot of people doing this, but also like, I think I know what people like to see or what people are going to find funny. I think I've narrowed it down to knowing like, okay, this is also, I delete, if I see a certain, like after a few minutes that it's not going to go anywhere, like I'll just delete it. Like, I don't care. I'll save it. I screenshot it and delete it. Like there's no point of having it out there. I try to curate my content to like, you know, but yeah, there's a way I write it. There's a way I also know the type of joke. Like, yeah, there's a way I write it that I think that people will like it more than I could take a joke that someone posted on Twitter that you didn't find funny, and I could probably reword it and tweet it in a way that will get a lot more likes. Like, I'm not saying that to like boast. I'm just saying I know what people want to see and what people will. What will get the chuckle, the little laugh.
It's not just what you type, it's also how you type it.
It's mostly how you type it. Because there are funny concepts that people are posting that aren't funny on Twitter. Like there are that, like I look at the tweet, I'm like, there's so much potential here. And he took a good concept and like there's just he you know, like your reaction when you read it is like, ah.
I, def- I've used help in that. I've even reached out to you like once or twice. I don't want everyone like reaching out to you now.
I have a couple of, I've helped a few people, and it's I don't help them on a constant basis, but like a guy like, I'm not gonna drive. There's a guy who's been pretty successful on Twitter. I reached
out to you for
I'm not gonna drive any names or anything, but like there is a guy who he hasn't asked me in a long time because he's really picked up and he's gotten a really nice following and everything. But like I used to like he used to send me and we used to talk back and forth and like until he came out with a good way of wording it. But yeah, I think that's a lot of it. It's the wording, it's the thought, it's like the comma placement. Like there's a lot of it. Like to drop a comma in the right place is very important. Like even if I put a capital in a word or a letter, you know, there's reason, there's thought. And so basically that's it. It's the writing of the joke.
I feel so bad for the guy who's like not into the stuff listening to this. He probably like just like zoned out already. He's like, but for the people who find this interesting, I think it's very interesting.
Right. Yeah. And look, my DMs are open. And if you're trying and you're not getting a like, talk to me. I'm accessible. And I promise you, I'm not in like competition with anybody. Like I don't care. I don't care to help anybody. It doesn't make a difference to me. As I told you, this is a hobby. And I'm not making money off it. So like, right. I have no problem. If you have a good line and you think, or you have a good concept, like I have no problem discussing it with you, seeing if we can, make it better. Right. Did you just take a picture? What was that?
No, I'm doing this on a computer and I'm near another computer. So I'm like, oh, let me use that computer for lighting. But again, and if everyone listening are like, don't understand what the heck.
We could post this video on YouTube.
Oh, okay. I'm like running around in it. I didn't know we were going to video this. Like,
I know the reason is because first of all, I think it works better when you're looking at each other. And also I think the audio work, the anchor stuff kept knocking out whatever word is, the fancy word for it is. But yeah, what else did we want to get to here? The reply guys, do we want to touch on that?
It's up to you, whatever you want.
Let's see. You know what lines I just saw from your brother? He posted a status.
Which one? I have phone. Brother, which one?
The one that posted Ellie. So he wrote, we went from June 1st to June. He posted to June 16th in 2 days. You know what's an always win on Twitter? These time jumping jokes. How many times does a time jumping joke go? Can you believe it was 2 days since January? Like, yeah. No, it was not June 1st to June 16th in 2 days. It was like a couple of weeks,
right?
You know, but yeah, that's an instant hit on social media. Always time passing jokes will get you the likes.
People love
it. Reply guys, feedback on our signs. Those people.
Yeah. I've realized a lot of people just don't understand our jokes.
Right. In our heads, and also when we discuss it, like it's funny because of our back, like where we got to this place in our joke. And then like people are like, what's funny about this?
95% of the time, we're like on the money. Like it is funny.
Yeah.
And you can see in the comments, 80% of the people are like vibing with it.
Because there are likes. We're getting the likes and we're getting their comments. And then there's one comment that's like, ooh, you know, like.
Yeah. And it's like, it's the same guy who's like giving us those suggestions that are just like, please, like, don't worry. We got enough suggestions. Like,
you should put this on your sign. The talent is better. I just thought actually, it's not a bad sign. It's not a bad sign. Ketchup doesn't belong in talent.
Interesting. It's one of those like recipe ones that like people with signs recipes people
that always gets people.
It for the signs people go crazy for it.
Yeah. But by the way, what are you putting ketchup in? Like, all these people put like random stuff in their channel. Like, ooh, guess what? We put in our challenge this week. Oh yeah, well, what would you put in? Dr. Pepper. We put in ketchup. We put in minestrone. Like, what are you doing?
I feel like it's the most like from orthodox thing to like, it happens everywhere. Like at some point in someone's life, someone's trying to, a from person or you've been near a from person that's trying to explain to their like, non-Jewish neighbor or like non-Jew what chalent is, you know, like this, like, look, it's so good, it's, oh, you never had it, it's like a chili,
like best. I'm telling you, it's the best food. But it's the same thing in reverse. And we like when we're like with a guy and we're like, so tell me, how's McDonald's?
Right.
Is it really good? Is it really good? What about Red Lobster?
Right.
Is lobster good? I can't. It's crazy because they take a living lobster and they put it in a pot and kill it alive. Like, is it good? And they're like, yeah. I mean, you know, it's good. You know.
I like how your non-Jew is Kermit the Frog. Yeah. Me and Miss Piggy like all the time.
We always eat our lobster.
Which would be like cannibalism. Well, I guess he's an animal eating another animal. But I have a friend that went off the Darach, unfortunately. But
is he still a friend?
No, now he's an enemy. No, he's still a friend, totally still a friend. And I've asked him, I'm like, so like at that point, he's like, for sure, officially off. It's like, so tell me about the place. He's like, non-kosher, overrated. Like McDonald's. I mean, again, it's his opinion, but like it was nice to hear from him. He was like, right, telling you. It is like the quality in these places, at least the fast food places, are so much worse. He's like, yeah, like I think his personal big one was like sushi is like non-kosher sushi. Like they're doing it right. We're not doing it as right. But like, he's like almost everything else, like the quality that we get is, and like he's not one of these guys, like he's not like, he went off the dare for a reason. Like he's not trying to pump up, you know, like stay from, right. He was just being very raw and honest.
Yeah, even from non-Jews I've spoken to or like on the reverse side, Bali Tshuva, they're always like the daytime of the seafood by not kosher seafood is like excellent, and like we haven't really done well with the seafood as well.
We shouldn't be allowed to call it seafood, okay? We have seafood. Like three things that like that's not
right seafood. We only can eat like fish.
We have fish, right? Seafood, okay.
But in general, we're missing out on seafood. Not that we're bad with seafood, that we don't make it well. We're just missing out on like all this stuff that like are good stuff, like clams, oyster, like all these things, oyster steak, I don't know, like yeah, lobster and that stuff they say are really good stuff. Shellfish, anchovies. Broccoli, I mean, like all this stuff. You also wrote down upstate. What did you want to say about upstate New York?
I don't know. I felt like there's material that we could like spew about upstate, like that whole like culture. I don't know. It's very interesting to me. I happen to love upstate.
The mountains.
I grew up in Flatbush, and I always said the best part of Flatbush is going upstate. It's awesome, but it's so interesting because like it's maybe Israel's like this also somewhat, but not really. Upstate is like, so it's every type of Jew. You have like really modern Modoc's bungalow colonies where like it's the mixed swimming pool. Then you have like that Flatbush family, and then you have,
like, you drive by them on like the road and you're like, I just see through gates.
Yeah. No, and then like you have the Uber Hasidim also, all within like sometimes, some years, like 10-minute drive of everyone. It's very all interesting. Together.
Yeah, it's
very
it's,
interesting to like have that mix of Jews.
But and, it's pretty crazy that we chose this spot. Like we all converge to this Catskills like area. Like it's upstate New York is massive. It's a massive state. I can tell you're not state. A real
upstate guy because you call it Catskills. Like
Catskills. No, but I'm saying the Catskills.
It's like the same, the guy who says the Rebbe who says television. If you say television, you don't have a TV, you know?
No, but I said Catskills.
Oh, you're being ironic. You're being ironic.
Right. Yeah. The
upstate.
In my head, it's like on purpose. Like I'm doing it because like Rebbeim. Like I said it that way. Like I know it doesn't come across that way, but that's literally the thought process. But yeah, the Catskill Mountains are where we all go. But it's a crazy thing that's where it's at. Like. We're all there, and it's not even, it's like the same within the same half hour of each other, everything, you know. Yeah. Once you drive a half hour past you know, Fallsburg, you're out of the Jewish area. And yeah,
it's a wild place. And the Walmart there, they make more money in those 2 months than the whole, yeah, we heard that thing.
The guy should be happy we come up. You know, they get all upset. They should be happy. We bring so much business to them. It's like, well, what business do you bring to the tire shop? Like, that's the business you bring to them. You're shopping in the Jewish places. Like, you don't bring any business to them. You go to Beer World and you go to the, when you get a flat, you go to Brothers Auto Potty. You know, you.
They hate us so much.
They hate us.
They really hate us. They really hate us. Yeah.
Yeah. And you think Walmart really, like, Walmart is this massive multi-billion, they have locations everywhere. You think they're focusing on, like, oh, I love it. The summer's happening and the Jews are coming to our Catskill location.
They're probably like, oh, gosh.
They're going to Monticello.
Yeah. There's, by the way, life hack. I've never been. I passed it. There's another Walmart, like, probably like 20 minutes away from the Walmart in Monticello. That same.
By the way, Monticello in general is such a sheevish name.
It's very.
Hey, up in Monticello.
You know, it's always funny. I always sound funny, like the classic Jewish places, like Monticello, or a word like Flatbush, or like even Passaic. When you hear a non-Jew say those words, it's like, what? You know that word? Like, come on. Like,
that's our thing.
Come on. You should say Brooklyn. You don't say the word Flatbush.
Right. Flatbush. Yeah. Midwood.
These are such Jewish words at this point. Like,
Borough Park. To hear a guy say Borough Park, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It's interesting. It's definitely, but I agree with you, Monticello is definitely a Jewish.
But now I hear somebody's on the radio, like they call into like the sports station and it's like, yeah, it's Mike from Tom's River.
Oh, like, God.
Wait, what?
No, but Tom's River to me, I remember hearing about Tom's River before it is what it is now. And like, to me, it sounds so like non-Jewish, like Tom's.
Right. It happens to be, it's always like a white, like non-Jewish place.
Everyone who moved in there, they proved us wrong. They're like, no, it's super Jewish now, Tom's River.
No, but that's the whole Bart and Tom's River jokes. And let me just tell you as a prank blanket rule is that the Tom's River guys are trying so hard to be the white Tom's River guy. Meaning they're trying so hard to be that, like, we're in Tom's River now. We have these houses with these lawns and American flags and we're mowing the, like, they're living the American white life right now. That's like a little bit behind a lot of the Tom's River humor. And they're trying to, like, you know what I'm saying?
I think, actually, I have a brother who just moved there. I think again, I don't know what goes on there, but I do think, like, from a, like, financial standpoint, like, they have it made for them. Like, they could spend literally the half the amount of money that you would spend in your part of Jersey or my part of the five towns or Brooklyn or wherever, or Muncie, and literally half of it with a pool, huge. And yeah, you have to like go to like the Lakewood ecosystem and you have to be far from New York.
Still have to drive out for things, but
yeah, still, but
it happens to be, by the way, I was talking this, the prices there have gone crazy. So unless you go far out now in Tom's River and like hope that it catches up there, which it probably will, but the prices and the areas that became more Jewish are crazy and the bidding wars that go on.
You just bought a house, so you're like lucky. But like for me and others, like I'm still like trying to start this community. It's not easy. And I'm trying everything I can to avoid going to the established places here. But like, it's so hard in this climate to really like
buy. Things have gone up like crazy in general. Like I literally bought like 10 minutes before things started going up again. I bought like the lowest interest rate. And like, I think Hashem was like really involved in this. But I'm
really involved in me not getting
Avishter, you really, if you really look, you could see the Yad Hashem and really, I mean, it was unbelievable that who put the thought in my head.
You got lucky, man.
Yeah, no, I really did. I'm paying 2.5% interest rate.
Wow.
It's crazy that you can't get that. I'm telling you, you can't get that now. Well,
it's like I stink. That's what I feel.
Yeah. All right, are we out of stuff to talk about? Do we exhaust every?
I think so. No, like we don't want to talk for too long. It's almost been an hour. I definitely want to. Anyone who's listening to this, they should definitely follow me on Twitter. I'm Jack Linger.
Yeah. Oh, follow Jack. Not just Yibbe Sign. Jack Linger also has a Twitter account that you should follow.
Yeah.
Posting interesting stuff. You post some nice things.
Yeah,
like, I'm like Hachnasa Sefer Torahs.
You know what's funny? I've been on Twitter since like, I don't remember, 2008, 2009, I don't know, whenever, like near the beginning of it. And I used to tweet, like, I used to be in the Twitter game, but I didn't cater towards the religious Jewish audience. And only as of like in the past like 4 years that I really lean into it.
Well, there really wasn't any from people, like even from when I started, like
I failed miserably at it to the non-Jews. And like, I also didn't know that every social media platform is so different. You have to like understand the language. But like in the past few years, I'm like, you know what? I see the action. I see what's going on. I think it's great. And I'm like, let me try to get more into it. And like, Baruch Hashem, I'm not like
engagement has.
But I have good engagement. And yeah, it's me. It's like, I have jokes, I have serious stuff. Here and there, I do like tech related stuff that always tanks like crazy because all my religious, like every frum guy's
that's
like-
That's the problem with the frum following is that anything that's not like, I've had some interesting things about the Yankees, but like nobody cares. Nobody's following me for my Yankees comments.
Yeah.
But like, it's annoying for me because I happen to be a huge Yankee fan. I'm a pretty big sports fan in general. And like, I hold back a lot of sports related things. What?
As anyone listening to this knows, you're into sports. Like you made like 17. You made like 17 sports references, and I made 17 D-Bash references. You're the sports, I'm into D-Bash. That's what we get.
Okay.
But
yeah, there's a lot of stuff I'd want to say, like sports wise. Like, I'm not gonna. It's like there's no point. But there are sports from sports guys. There a lot of them are trolls, like the Mets fans.
They are these from sports guys, or you know what I mean? Like you can't. You're the from joke guy.
Right, and they'll. And I found also like in the beginning of my Twitter existence, like I did, like, you know, if you tweet a political thing, like, you know how many people are on Twitter besides for you, little Yankel Schmerl, who's tweeting like your bench, the thing you heard from Ben Shapiro, you know, like, oh, stupid AOC, you're never going to learn, you know, like, you know how many people on Twitter are saying the same stupid, like, you're the only way to really get somewhere is you have to really know a guy, you know, but. So there's really no point. The nice thing about the from world and from Twitter in general, like the from social media, is that like you will get reward for your comments. And even if it's like not great, like you see people getting likes for things that aren't even really funny. But like there are, you know, there's like sort of the community. So that is nice. And there's definitely a big increase in people on Twitter. It is annoying, and we've complained about the replies, and like I guess that comes with more people there. But oh my god, some of these replies.
Yeah, some of them are incredible and like really thoughtful.
There are some funny guys. There are some funny replies.
And a lot of them are just like cringe.
Like, I'm like, what do you do? Why do you? Honestly, did you think before you said that?
I think it's like a few like 10-year-olds that like for some reason their parents gave them phones or like. Access to this, and they're tweeting, and we're like, oh, it's a 30-year-old. No, it's a 10-year-old.
Some of them are adults. Some of them are clearly adults.
I they have the brains of a 10-year-old. I don't know. Like it's so like obnoxious. Some replies and like, I remember to you, like someone like it was the meanest thing. Like you, I think it was from the when you are the meaningful people. Like people, like someone like said a really mean comment. I mean, it was true. No, okay, no, it was like something about. Your looks, right? And it was like,
right. Yeah. Someone commented about my looks. Yeah.
I was like, are you normal? Like, and it was like a negative thing. I'm like, are you normal? Like, they deleted it, but like, people are.
It's not a normal thing. It's really not. There's some really not. I remember the first time my face went anywhere, I think like my face was on Twitter. Someone responded, like, you ruined the AY experience for me. Someone literally responded that.
No, but that could be.
Oh
that could
my God.
Be,
okay. Like, no, that, like, that, no, but. It was sort of after he's like, well, no, I figure, you know, you don't look like a funny type of person. I'm like, okay, you know what? Just shut up. Like,
he's the guy running, by the way. He got Twitter. And he just
it was that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's that's the replies are crazy. The replies are crazy.
Before we end, I wanna make a plug for something I've been working on for like.
Oh yeah, plug away. Jack Linger, follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, and, no, I really did that plug. I'll plug myself again.
Oh, okay.
There's something I've been working on for a year for those three people that are still listening. So as a lot of people know, I've been working on Meaningful People together with Nachi, and it's awesome. And Amir Shem, it's going to continue for literally Amir Shem as long as...
Ad Hayam Hazeh.
Yeah, exactly. Forever. But something I'm starting is essentially like, it's pretty simple. It's content that I wish I had when I was growing up. I'm still growing up. I'm 29. I still feel like I'm like 14, but that's really what it is. That's literally what it is. Just a network of just content that I wish I had in my life. So I'm calling it Living L'Chaim. Because me personally, I lived my life as like a from guy, goody goody. And like a certain point, I'm like, I'm missing something. I'm not happy. Like I was just not happy until I got there. So and I realized like doing everything because I have to, not because I want to. And there's so much of that like L'Chaim moments. I don't even drink. I don't like not like drinking like that. Like L'Chaim, like living life to that excitement. So I'm really excited for it's essentially just a bunch of new podcasts that I'm producing. I'm not on them. I'm at a maybe guest appearance and stuff like that. But starting off with one, the one we're starting is called Kosher Money, as my brother Ellie Langer hosting it. Did I tell you about this or you have no clue what I'm talking about?
We've spoken about things like this, but
yeah, this is practical and it's together with Living Smarter Jewish. They're part of like the OU and it's really, at least this one, it's like to help from people navigate the finances world, investing, budgeting.
Do we get an AY podcast in there? Should we?
You're saying in the Living L'Chaim. We spoke about this. I can see it. I can see it, man.
Right. We have some ideas for an AY podcast in this.
Yes, we do. Right. Some ideas. But I literally have like 7 ideas. Like one is actually working on, like literally recorded a bunch of episodes. There's 2 podcasts in the works. But yeah, it's honestly, I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it, but I'm doing this for me. It's things that I wish I had. And even now, like I'm listening to like these being recorded. I'm like hungry to hear what the answer is. And I don't think the Jewish world really has content like this.
Right. I think we're catching it. We're always behind in content and stuff like this. We're always a few years behind, especially like from people are starting to make podcasts now. Podcasts have been around for 7-8 years, like almost 10 years.
I can't wait until like the From Oilem gets into like NFTs, you know, like in like 10 years.
We're always just a few steps behind.
We're always a little behind, but if there's anything that's cool now, it's like you, AY, could just get up and like make your own podcast and like, it's easy. Like you don't need to be this big, you know, Jewish company in order to do that. So I think, you know, that's why I'm like, you know what? What the heck with it? Like, why don't I just produce? Yeah, other people are producing other stuff and good stuff and great. But you know what? I really think the content that I'm going to put out is the things that I would want to listen to.
Also like less nebuch. A lot of the from things that come out when they try too hard, like it's always nebuch.
Yep. Those content is nebuch because like, I think the ones doing it, they're trying to be like Hollywood or something like that. And like, we're trying to be like a sports show and like, you're not like, well, whatever.
Right. That was another thing with 10 Minutes with AY. The part was that I'm not trying to be anything. I'm not modeling it after anybody. I'm not doing anything. I'm just doing coming on and talking. And you know what? If you like it, you listen. If not, not. It doesn't matter to me. And I wasn't, I'm not following like, cause this guy on this, whatever, does the same podcast. Like, no, nobody, literally nobody does a 10 minutes with whoever. There's another podcast called 10 Minutes with Jesus. So, and Jesus gets on and he rants about like Christian life. No, there's really no, there's really no other one. I didn't model this after anybody. Yeah.
That's the key with content. With good content, it has to be authentic. Right. It has to be valuable. It has to be interesting. And someone has to walk away with like that either gave me entertainment, that gave me value. And when you try to be someone else, you try to be some other thing, people sense that and they walk away and like, I don't want that.
Yeah, I think actually I'm like thinking for your thing. Well, you know, we'll talk off air about idea for your thing. But you know, I'm thinking of some stuff maybe that might be like different, something, things that nobody's heard before. Like, you know, another thing with all this content is that like we're you find that you're allowed to talk about a lot of things that like were so like growing up and like your Rebbe would be upset. Like we're all adults and you know, you can, we're not as rigid as we were in high school. Like our Rebbe and I think we're a little too much. It depends on the person or whatever. Maybe yours wasn't and you're going to reach in and I had the best Rebbe. Like, you're fine. But like from my own experience, like my Rebbe were very intense. Like a lot of my content on Twitter and a lot of my rants and my things come from like, these rabbeim who like planted these things in my head that are like, wait a minute, that's not even halacha. Like, that's not even anything. Like, they just went too far.
Yeah, you know? I think rabbeim, and most of my experience with rabbeim were incredible. But I definitely had like my fair share of rabbeim that weren't amazing. Rabbeim are like very like to either side of it. Like, if they're amazing, they could really like help and change your life. But if they're like not understanding like how to really like, let's say third grader, and like the Rebbe's like,
someone was just telling me actually, very interesting, like a very good, someone's kid didn't get in the yeshiva. And he told the he was trying to get his kid into yeshiva. And he's going back and forth with like the Rosh Yeshiva, Manal, whatever it was. And he goes, how many rabbeim work in the yeshiva? And he said, whatever, 40. So he said, how many have you fired? How many are here since like, you know, for the last 10 years? And like pretty much most of them. And he's like, out of 40 rabbeim, all of them are, you couldn't find one to that wasn't good. In a company with 40 employees, every year there's a turnover of 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people. They're all perfect. They're all amazing. Like, and his son didn't get in, but he was already knocking the yeshiva. But the point is that like, rabbeim aren't vetted to be like, they're not all amazing. They're like, no offense to anybody. Like, I had some amazing rabbeim, and then there are some that are just, you know, and like, there's yeshivas don't let them go. And, you know, this is like already turning into like a real, like, oh, we should talk about this. But like, you know, there are rabbeim.
No, right. What you're saying, I'm going to sound like super from now and great, because I'm a Talmid Chacham. But what you said is literally referencing, I think it's in Makos, right? Like that they're saying how there's like a Bezdin that doesn't kill, right? And like someone, like one of the, you know, Chacham were like, yeah, in my Bezdin, we didn't kill anyone in a long period of time. And I think it was a Baya who said back to him, I don't remember who, but he's like, you understand, you're killing more people. You didn't kill anyone? What do you mean? These people are murderers. You how could you go so long without finding anyone who's...
did anything wrong? Like,
Chayavisa, exactly. Yeah. Literally like what you're saying.
People aren't scared to live where you're living because whatever. So yeah, it's... I actually like really identify with that because I did have rabbeim. Like, you know, if they did like a thing, they'd be like, you know, this guy should be out. Like if they were looking at production, if they could figure out how to like... this guy doesn't belong here, or like things that they heard about the Rebbe, like parents complaining. And like, I know for a fact, parents have complained about one particular, and still there, fire him and get a new one. Like any company, if you're an accounting company and one of your guys is just not working and he's lazy and he's not whatever, or he's screwing up with numbers, you get rid of him. Like, you know, it's, but in the from world, they're so nervous to like leave someone without a job. And you know,
no, it's yeah. Hey, listen, it's, I don't know the answer. Cause like on one hand, you like this person is not good for chinuch, or like it's literally his job and he's doing a bad job making this kid not love Hashem or love the Torah. So like, that's not good. Right. But you don't want to like let him go. But on the flip side, like think of all these kids that are like being really affected by it, and we all know those guys who went off the dark because they had like a bad experience.
Yeah,
like,
100%. Most stories, it goes back to that. Most off the dark stories is like it can be traced back to some Rebbe or something, or you know, or some inability, whatever.
But I do want to iterate the flip side of it. I'm exactly where I am today because of my incredible parents.
Of course, I had great rabbeim too. I had are good rabbeim. I know. Every rabbi's bad. Yeah, like I had excellent rabbeim.
The headline tomorrow of us is to be like, AY Yaakov hate
take the down tzedakah. They take down rabbeim. Yeah, take down tackle.
We love tzedakah. We love rabbeim. We love yeshivas.
Right, 100%.
But these, not everything's perfect with it, which is okay. And you talk about it and you gotta mend it. And I don't think we said Lashon Hara on anything particular.
Right, for sure. We stayed away from any names besides D-Bash. he's going to listen to this and be like, guys, what the heck? What?
When I said before, I'm going to bleep out Greenspan. I said his real name, so.
Oh, well, now you ruined it even more because that
point. No, I'm going to bleep it out. I'm going to bleep it out. I can say Greenspan now because before it was a bleep. You know what I said. But I become friendly with him and he's awesome. But I also feel like he's gonna send me a message like, I will kill you if I don't know.
That. He might do that.
I'm scared of him.
Anyways, very good. Very good, good stuff. I see you stocked up on Kirkland baby wipes.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
Obviously. That the Kirkland applesauces. Just letting you know, this Kirkland squeezy applesauces that come in a box of 24. My daughter literally wakes up and she's from her crib. She doesn't scream Tati, she doesn't scream Mommy. She goes, applesauce.
Really?
It's amazing. It's amazing. She doesn't cry. Applesauce.
Really in the mood of applesauce.
Go have some applesauce. Excellent snack.
Yeah, I don't have.
Oh, go get. Anyways, this has been fun. Jack Lang, everybody. You can check him out on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. I'm kidding. Whatever. Wherever you we've mentioned where you can find him. Yeah. AY. You can find me on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram, Aim Humor. All right.
Thanks, man. This has been great. Right.
Yeah. Have a good night.
See you. Good Shabbos.
Or morning, whenever you're listening to this.